One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. There's a summer party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What is up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck. I'm here with a glass of rosé that I poured myself while I was doing a little lingerie try-on before shooting this. It's been a long day of shooting for me. I've been recording since I woke up this morning. So I've got a little glass of rosé in hand, and she's ready to be a little emotional today. Isn't that what we do over here? I've had a very emotional week/weekend. That's not to say good or bad emotional, just emotional. Feelings are what they are. I don't know. I'm just trying to sort of take life as it comes right now and give myself grace for not having all the answers or not knowing all the right things to say. Sometimes I think I just get frustrated that life can't be exactly like it is inside my head, or it's not as easy as it is inside my head, because inside my head and my daydreams, it's all so simple and easy and beautiful and gorgeous up there, and I just wish that it was real sometimes. So anyways, without getting into any of the details, I did have sort of an emotional week/weekend, so that's where I'm showing up at right now. But you know, I'm not someone to shy away from emotional conversations or eras in my life, so I feel very neutral about all of it. It's not a good or a bad thing, and I think if anything, it's actually just made me really grateful to have people in my life that I care so deeply for. I think it's a beautiful, wonderful thing to care so deeply and truly about other people, and to meet people in this life that you just feel connected to and safe around. So emotions aside, I feel grateful to know the people I know and love the way I do. And that's what I just need to hold on to at the end of the day. So that's where I'm at. That's where I'm coming into this episode at. We're feeling emotional, but we're trying to ground ourselves in the present moment and the positives, and, just sort of taking life day by day right now. Sar, glass of wine has been poured. Lingerie has been bought. Okay. I'm filming lingerie shopping in New York City video for my YouTube channel that should be up next week when you guys are listening to this. A few short days, should be up on Monday, fingers crossed, assuming that I get it done in time. And I went in person today and got fitted for bras and just tried on a bunch of different lingerie at this shop in Brooklyn. And I had such a good time. I left with some new items. I won't spoil it. I'll let you guys watch the video, but I look good as fuck, okay? And I did film a few thirst traps. Be sure to follow me on Instagram. I will be posting them. Listen, it's my community service. I'm gonna be nipples out on Instagram as I deserve. This is 26. May we all remember this year forever and always. But yeah, I had such a good time, such a good experience. I can't wait to tell you guys more about it in the video, especially if you live in New York and you might want to go check this place out and have a little in-person lingerie shopping moment for yourself. damn, I look good as fuck, though. I wish I had someone to wear these outfits for, but it's just me that gets to enjoy them. And maybe that is something beautiful in and of itself, okay? Had an emotional week. Today I went lingerie shopping. No one's going to see these outfits except for myself and my tens of thousands of Instagram followers. And my reply guys from high school that still swipe up and support. I love you guys. You are displaying a level of loyalty that people said wasn't possible. But here you are, still in my DMs after 7 years. I love you, babes. I love your support of the girls. Honestly, though, I might... This would be so dramatic, but it would be so real of me. And people aren't talking about it enough. But I might throw on my lingerie, throw on some harnesses, and listen to some audio erotica tonight. Ooh-wee! You know that I love audio erotica. I've talked about it many times before. I work with Dipsy all the time because I love audio erotica. I am in an audio erotica moment lately, okay? So I've just been getting very deep inside of it. And there's a couple series on Dipsy. They have like multiple episodes with the same characters. There's one called Lecture Me that I really like. It's like a teacher-student fantasy. But what I've been really into is they have like a separate series with the main male character from the Lecture Me series where it's I'm pretty sure the series is just called James Tells You What to Do. I like being told what to do, okay? We know this. And there's this series where it's just him in your ear directing you on how to masturbate, how he wants you to touch yourself. I've been listening to one a night, just letting myself have, it's my little treat, okay? It's my dessert at the end of the day, is listening to this man with a sexy voice tell me what to do. And I obey, okay? If nothing else, I do be obeying. And it is so good. It is so hot. I just love it. I can't, every time I talk to someone and they tell me they've never listened to audio erotica, I'm like, dude, you're missing out, number one. Number two, I know I've said this a million times, but I really do think that everyone would be better at dirty talking if we just listened to more audio erotica. Dipsy, which is the platform that I listen to audio erotica on, is made by women for women. So all of the audio erotica on there is catered very much towards me. It's like they made the whole thing for bitches like me. I am the target audience, all right? But with that being said, the men that I date, am interested in pursuing, I get that the audio erotica that I listen to and find hot, they're probably not gonna love. I mean, who's to say? They might like it. I'm not ruling anything out here. But I still think that those men would gain so much from listening to Sir James tell me how to touch myself, because he fucking kills it. He fucking kills it. And if people just would listen and take a few notes and be like, okay, this is what he's saying and all these bitches like it, I'm going to adopt a few of these sayings and just work them into my next dirty talk session. The tools to be good at dirty talk are right at our fingertips. Assuming you even like dirty talk. I'm a talker, though. I love it. I think it's so hot. It's so sexy. I love talking during sex. Talk to me, bitch. Let's play a game. Let's go back and forth. It's like, ugh. It just amps it up for me when you're like going back and forth. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, can you hit it back? Can you hit it back in the way that I'm going to hit it back to you? Can you keep up with me? And it's so much fun when they can keep up with you. So all I'm saying is, if you want to get better at dirty talk, listen to audio erotica. Because you'll leave feeling like a fucking god. It's so much fun. It's so much fun. Also, just a PSA to every man that I've ever had sex with and ever will have sex to. Moan more. Moan more for the love of Christ and everything holy. Because we all deserve it. And it's so sexy. And I want to hear you. Okay, let's just making sure we have that on the table and we understand, right? We're on the same page. Perfect. So I might throw on this new lingerie, give myself the full fantasy. I was trying on my harnesses earlier. It's been, you know, fucking, I'm not having sex. So a lot of this BDSM stuff that I own, just, it sits in my closet, in my drawers, and I don't get as much use out of it as I would like to. But I was putting on my harnesses today while I was trying on the lingerie that I just bought. And you forget how much fun it is to like strap yourself in like that. I can't. When you're wearing a harness, specifically a chest harness, but also, you know, hip harnesses as well. But when you're wearing a chest harness and somebody grabs it and pulls you, it makes me want to scream and pull all of my hairs out one by one in a good way. It also makes me like very aware of when I'm wearing harnesses over my clothes, just that I need to be very aware of my surroundings because it'd be very easy to like snatch me up when I'm wearing the harnesses. Because when somebody pulls on them, it like you can't, they're moving your whole body. I'm sucked in there when I have the harnesses on. But when it's the right person and they're pulling you and you want to be pulled, it is so fucking hot. And that's what I wanted to talk about at the beginning of today's episode. I am living my best life, I guess, listening to audio erotica. And I hope you all do the same. Cheers. Let's raise our glasses of rosé and, you know, indulge a little. Why don't we? Something else at the top of the show here. I have an important announcement to make. So as you guys know, I was in Italy and Greece earlier this summer traveling with some of you guys. I was in Italy for a week with 20 of you, and then I went to Greece the week after with 20 other of you guys, and it was so much fun. These trips were just like the highlight of my whole summer, getting to lead and host a trip where we travel and explore somewhere new, and the whole focus of this trip is to connect and make new friends. It was like one perpetual sleepover, and I loved it so much. So we are doing another trip, and I am excited to announce that we have decided on a destination. You guys may remember a few weeks ago, I had a survey in the link of the podcast. I posted it on my YouTube channel, Instagram stories, everywhere, where you could vote, send in some info about yourself, where you'd be looking to go, what your price range is, you know, what a dream trip for you would look like. And I went through and we picked a location that I am very excited about. So can we get a little drum roll, please? I don't have enough hands to do this myself, so you need to do that at home. The destination for our June 2024 Trova Trip Bestie Extravaganza is Spain, baby. We're going to Ibiza and Mallorca. I'm so fucking excited. We're going to be in the place where it happens, baby. June 2024 in Mallorca. What else is going on in Mallorca in June? Tell me quickly. Answer it fast. That's right, babes. It's Love Island, and I'm going to be on the same fucking island as them. And you're not going to know what to do with me, babes. Not that I can even do anything, right? We're just going to be in Mallorca at the same time as Love Island is filming in Mallorca. But it's like knowing that they're just like right around the corner. Also, airports, we might run into some. You just never know these things. It's not out of the question. And I'm so excited to just be in a place where it happens in the moment with all of our friends, the fellow Brits, the islanders, my people. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited. So we're going to Spain, we're going to Ibiza, and we're going to Mallorca, and it's going to be a beautiful, fun, bestie vacation that you guys can join in on. Tickets go on sale next Friday, August 25th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mark your calendars, get ready. I'm going to have a link in the description of this podcast for you to sign up for my email list. So you will be notified via email when the trip goes live. I'm going to be sharing out more details about the trip on the community page on this account, my YouTube channel, my Instagram. I'll post on my feed and my stories. I'll have all of the information about this trip in multiple places. I'll be posting more about it over the next week. So just be sure that you are following me and keeping up so that you can learn more about it. The price for the trip is very similar to the Italy and Greece trips we just did. So the regular price for this trip is going to be $32.75. And then there is an early bird price for the first 8 people to sign up, and that's going to be $31.50. So you will get a $125 discount if you are within the first 8 people to sign up for the trip. I'll also link the trip page down below so you can see what's included in that price. A lot of our meals are included in that. Obviously, our accommodation is transportation within the islands. Your flights to Spain are not included in this price, but transportation between Ibiza and Mallorca is included. So I'll link all of it so you can go through, take a look, weigh all of it, think on it yourself. And tickets will go live August 25th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So be sure to follow me other places or just keep an eye on the community tab on the Emotionally Online podcast YouTube channel. I will be posting all of the information there over the next week or so. So sit on it, think on it. Would love to see you there. The purpose of these trips is just to bring a bunch of similar, like-minded people to the same place where we can explore something new and make a ton of new friends. So if that sounds like something fun to you, I highly recommend coming. One of the number one questions that I know I'm going to get here is just like, should I come by myself or other people coming by themselves? Most people will be by themselves. I think for the trips we did this year, there were like 2 girls that knew each other beforehand and everyone else was strangers or had like met in the group chat for the trip and had met up beforehand because they realized they lived in the same place and were both on the trip. So if you're coming by yourself, don't worry. Literally everyone else is too. And the purpose of this trip is to make new friends. Everyone there is going to be excited and pumped to make friends and have a little bestie vacation, bestie sleepover every night of the week. Obviously, I'm the host of the trip, so I'm here to facilitate, help you guys make connections. But we do have a trip guide that will be with us that is like an expert on this Spain itinerary, an expert on the areas we're going to. So they're going to be the ones guiding the trip. I've also never been to Spain before, so this is going to be just as new to me as it is for you guys. And I'll be leading a few workshops throughout the trip, journaling workshop, intention setting workshop, We're Not Really Strangers game night throughout the trip as well. So there'll be multiple moments of connection sort of planned in there, baked into the itinerary as well on my part. So we'll have the exploration stuff that our guide is very in charge of. And then I'm more in charge of the community aspect, the bonding, getting the group to really mesh well together and making sure everyone is having a good time and making new besties. So that's sort of how it works. And I would love to see you guys, meet you guys there. If you have questions, feel free to comment them or DM me. So anyways, so excited about that. I think just honestly, the idea of being in Mallorca at the same time they're filming Love Island in Mallorca, it just like does something to me. One of my new favorite ways to revamp and explore with my wardrobe is clothing rental. For the last like 6 months, I have been using Nuuly, which just so happens to be the sponsor of today's podcast, to rent different clothes and try them out before I commit to buying them. Seeing my Nuuly box arrive in the mail is something that excites me like nothing else these days. Every month for $98, you get 6 items to rent for the entire month. And oftentimes, the price of even one of these items is more than the $98 you're paying for all 6 of them for the month. And then you wear all of your items for 30 days. If you really love them, you can purchase them at a discounted price and just keep them in your closet, or you can package them back up in the box they sent you and send it back to Nuuly. You have access to thousands of styles from hundreds of brands. If you guys are familiar with Selkie, the big poofy Selkie dresses, I own 2 of them, but these are very expensive, very extravagant dresses that you might love to wear for an occasion, but it's not necessarily something that you want to invest in purchasing. Selkie is available on Nuuly, and it would be the perfect item to rent for a wedding, a baby shower, any type of event that you have coming up that you want to look dramatic as hell for. And they carry sizes up to a 5X. So if you're like me and you had never tried clothing rental before because you just figured they wouldn't have your size, Nuuly has some options for you. On top of that, Nuuly also has their own like state-of-the-art laundering facilities. So you don't have to wash any of your items before sending them back. If you get a stain in them, don't worry, just send them back and they will take care of it. So I think Nuuly's a great value, $98 a month for six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you use code emotional20 at checkout. Just go to Nuuly.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code emotional20 to sign up and get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code emotional20 for $20 off your first month. That is Nuuly, the subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. All right. With that being said, let's jump into some audience submissions. So if you don't know, there is a submission box for this show where you can submit anything and everything that you want. What's said at the sleepover stays at the sleepover. Tell me your deepest, darkest secrets. Tell me about the dating drama you have going on. Some crush that you have, family drama, friend drama, roommate drama, drama of any kind. I love hearing your stories. I love hearing what's going on in your lives. Let me know all your deepest, darkest secrets. I would love to know them. So without further ado, let's dive into some of these submissions. Hello, Maddie. Seeing the ways you show up for your friends and build your relationships has really inspired me to up my friendship game. I have been hosting dinner parties / girls nights and sending little gifts / texts to let people know that I'm thinking about them. Things were going good and I felt like my friendships were at their strongest. Then I moved cities and my friends became more spread out. Recently, I've been struggling with those same friendships. I feel like I'm always the one to reach out first and most often. I love my friends, but recently I've been feeling discouraged by not receiving the same effort I put in. I have come to terms with the fact that I have strong feelings and care very deeply, but I still worry about being seen as too much by the people I care about. I also had an exchange with one of my best friends where they made me feel like I was overreacting for expressing frustration at our lack of contact. And then when we did talk, they couldn't even give the conversation their full attention for more than a minute. It left me feeling shittier than if they had not just called at all. Do you have any advice for maintaining the motivation to care in the face of this kind of social burnout, or about how to express your desire for connection without coming off as too demanding / needy? Well, for starters, let me just say I love that you started hosting dinner parties and girls' nights. Those are the spice of life to me. Sending little gifts and texts to people you love, also amazing. And I love that you took that initiative and were seeing great results from it. You felt like your friendships were at their strongest. I think we gain so much from being the person that wants to plan and bring people together and just open up space for closeness, because I think we all want it and a lot of people are just too scared to initiate that. So I think everyone is thankful for the people that are the planners of the group for sure. So that's amazing. I love that. And then you moved and you've been struggling with those same friendships, which I do think is incredibly common and incredibly normal. I think naturally when you have a friendship that is in person and then you go long distance, your friendship is going to undergo some changes. The way your friendship looks is going to shift. That doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing, but it can be uncomfortable when it's in the process of shifting and you're like, this feels so different. And it's hard for different not to feel bad when you were really loving how your friendship was before. Naturally, it's just easier to maintain closeness with people that you're face to face with. It's a lot more personal than, you know, texting or calling, brief, you know, through the phone interactions. Having face to face time with people is always going to, you know, make you feel closer to them and more connected to them. That being said, just because someone's long distance doesn't mean that you can't have that same kind of intimate, close relationship with them. My best friend in the entire world, Ashley Olufsen, she and I are long distance and we've been long distance since we left our hometown when we went to college. And Ashley has stayed my best friend in the entire world this entire time. I think that's been for a few reasons. I think probably the first and above all else, it's the fact that she and I actively choose each other all the time. I am her best friend and she is mine. And I think because we both actively choose each other and I'm like, you are my person. I love you. I literally could not go through this life without you. And she does the same to me. It's really easy for us to maintain that level of closeness because it's like we've been selected, right? I will say I could not maintain that kind of friendship with everyone. It just is not possible, right? So my friendship with Ashley is different than a lot of the other friendships that I have because that girl's my fucking sister, you know? Like, we've been friends since we were 7 years old. We've been friends through every stage of life together. She has known every version of me that has ever existed. And that's a kind of closeness that you can't replicate. And so I think Ashley's a very unique example. I'm just saying that because I feel like my friendship with Ashley is my friendship with Ashley, and I can't compare it to any of my other friendships. Now, I do have several other long distance friendships that don't look like my friendship with Ashley. We are not nearly in as constant of contact. We are not in, we don't communicate on like a frequent or even predictable basis, some of them. Or I go through periods with people where like maybe we're texting a lot, but then there'll be like a period of 3 weeks or like a month where we don't speak. And it's not personal. It's just that we're existing on different timelines and schedules. We live in different places. And I think something that has been helpful for me is just learning to accept friendship changes and accept that like, this is maybe a season where I am less close with this person, but we will come back into season with each other soon. I think when you're living so far apart from people and your schedules and lives are different, it can be really hard to maintain long distance friendships with a lot of people. Maintaining with a few people is definitely possible, but also it is about who and what you're making a priority, and not everyone can be that priority. And it's not personal, it's just the truth. And like, I mean, speaking for myself, I'm on my phone 24/7 and I'm a shitty texter for most people. There are some people that I would look at you and be like, Maddie's a great texter because I'm a great texter to them. But it's not how I am across the board. I can't be a great texter to everyone, right? I can't respond and have in-depth, intimate conversations with every person that I know all the time. It's just not possible. We can't give ourselves like that to that many people. So, you know, there are going to be people that you talk to every day. And there are going to be some people you talk to once a week, once a month, every few months. And that doesn't mean that you love those people less or that those friendships are less intimate. It's just like you sometimes fall out of rhythm with people. Your lives are different. You simply cannot be like full communicate every single day, long intimate conversations with everybody. You can't. It's not possible. And so I think step one might just be accepting that you are going to be in a different kind of friendship with these people. Your friendships are going through a transition period, and that is okay. I'll also use one of my other best friends, Ellie, as an example. Ellie and I went to college together. We roomed together. We were roommates freshman and sophomore year, and then Ellie transferred colleges and went to a different school, still in New York. Ellie and I saw each other all the time, but then a year post-grad, Ellie moved to Boston. And Ellie is saving the fucking world, all right? She is the kindest, most generous person I have ever met in my life. And she does social work. She has one of the hardest emotional jobs ever. And she is so good at it. It is so natural for her. She is so just caring and loving and warm. She is the exact person that needs to be doing the job that she's in. And when Ellie moved to Boston over the course of the pandemic, we were definitely talking a lot less. And at no point during us talking less did I ever take it personally or did I ever assume that it meant we weren't friends anymore or that we wouldn't pick back up. In my mind, it was just like, Ellie is saving the world and I am fucking around on a computer. So I will reconnect with Ellie when our lives realign like that. And until then, I'm going to be rooting her on and cheering from the sidelines and just continuing to love her with my whole fucking heart until our paths realign again and we're able to spend more time together. And so, you know, it was like two and a half years that Ellie and I had a friendship that looked a lot different than it did when we were in college. And over the last like 4 or 5 months, Ellie and I have reconnected. I'm actually going on a little trip with Ellie, Ashley, and Mika this upcoming weekend, which I'm so excited about. And it's been so amazing to reconnect with Ellie and have, you know, our friendship come back into this era where we get to see each other more and we're prioritizing each other more. And that's amazing. But I think it was also really beautiful to watch our friendship go through a period where we were both out here doing different things, living different lives, and it didn't change how we felt about each other or loved each other at all. You know, it was just simply a matter of like we were living far apart, living very different lives, and you simply cannot prioritize communicating with every single person. You know, sometimes it's just like whose life aligns the best with ours in our schedule at that given moment. And that's totally fair. That's so fucking fair and so real. And I think it's beautiful to be friends with people where you're able to give each other the grace to go through those periods and let your friendship flow back into each other's when, you know, when things align, when the time is right. And, you know, there's friendships now that I feel that I'm going through that with where, you know, we've gone through periods where we're really close and then maybe where we spend less time together, we speak less frequently. We're still having very intimate, very personal, loving conversations when we are spending time together, but it's just less frequently. And that is fine. It's very common practice in friendships. I think that especially when you have an abundance of people in your life that you love and want to spend time with and prioritize, when you have like goals for yourself, when you're moving, you're like building a new life for yourself somewhere else, it's totally real to have to prioritize different things and different people. And your friendships are going to shift. They're going to look different. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. It doesn't have to be that scary. And I think that it is a beautiful thing to be able to give your friendships the grace to move through those periods and look different ways and still like love each other as hardcore as possible, even though it looks different. So that's the first response that I will give you. Second thing that I will say here is that I'm really sorry that you had a conversation with one of your friends about, wanting more communication, wanting to have more closeness with them. And they weren't very receptive of that. That is really tough. And I'm sorry that that happened. I think that I would not take that personally and I would not tell yourself that you're being too demanding or too needy. It is a brave and vulnerable thing to put your heart out there and ask for more connection and more communication, to say you miss someone, that you just want to hear from them more. And that is really, it's a very kind thing at the end of the day. I think sometimes people can take it in a way that is not intended, depending on what they're going through at the time. So if they feel overwhelmed and like they're being pulled in 100 different directions and work is overwhelming them, and then they're in a conflict with this person, and then they have a tough family life going on, or there's just like a lot of things going on around them, hearing a friend come in and say, I haven't heard from you and that upsets me, I need more communication, might make them just put their hands up and be more defensive about it than maybe they normally would. That's what my heart wants to believe when I hear stories of like friends reacting in those ways. I want to believe that it's just like other things are going on, and so they're receiving what you're saying in a very different way than is intended. And so I would be open to the possibility that they reacted to you in this way, not because of you, but because of other overwhelming things going on in their life. And so when you ask them for more connection, they felt like they had nothing left to give. And that has nothing to do with you, but they didn't know quite how to communicate that. It's possible. That's one possibility, right? There is endless possibilities for why that conversation went the way that it did. I'm just saying be open to the possibility that it wasn't personal and that it's not a reflection on like your friendship as a whole, or this isn't necessarily something that you need to take to heart and be like, oh, I'm being desperate and needy. You're not being desperate and needy. You know, it's totally a reasonable request to be like, I just moved and I'm navigating these friendship changes and I really just miss this friend of mine and I want to be more connected to them. I want to communicate more, and telling them that. That's a very sweet, vulnerable, brave thing to ask for, and it's not needy to do so. We all need connection. We all need friends. And yeah, I just don't think that you need to feel bad for that whatsoever. So I hear you. I hear how frustrating it is and how a conversation like that can make you feel shittier. I would just work on giving yourself space to breathe, give your friendships the grace to shift and move through this period and look different. And also, I would probably reopen a conversation with your friend and check in, tell them how this conversation made you feel, and also check in with them to see where they're at emotionally, what's going on in their life, what is their capacity to give to this friendship right now, and like just set expectations with each other so that you're not disappointing each other and missing each other in this period. It's hard. Long distance friendships are hard, and communicating through a phone is exhausting. So I would try very hard to not take things personally, because they usually are not. It is just long distance bullshit, unfortunately. How do you decide what are deal breakers in a relationship? I know my main ones that are personality based, but what about the gray area? My boyfriend is 30, shares a house with his brother, and shows no sign of wanting a home of his own. I am a very independent person, sometimes too much. So this kind of gives me the ick and concerns me that there is a lack of drive. I have no interest in spending time with your brother or having sex with your brother next door. We don't live in a big city where I understand the financial benefit, and even then, why are we living with family and not a friend? We met 2.5 years ago and it didn't bother me much then, but as we get older, it concerns me more. All this being said, I love him a lot, love his heart. Communication, always a work in progress, but he works at it with me and genuinely think of him as a best friend. So how do you decide when all your main criteria are met and where you draw the line for your next set of expectations in a person, or gauge if growth values are the same? So I think this changes person to person and relationship to relationship. I think we all know our like big deal breakers, right? You know, I'm not going to date a hateful bigot. That's a big deal breaker. No movement on that one. Never in any relationship ever. Not going to happen. Over. Or like if someone doesn't want kids and you do, or vice versa. Relationship types. If you want a monogamous relationship, you want to get married and someone else doesn't want that. These are like big deal breakers that would just cross somebody out immediately. No second thoughts, like no exceptions. These are the deal breakers. And then there's the other things, the step below the deal breakers, where in some relationships, they will be a deal breaker and they'll be the reason why you want to end it. And then in other relationships, they won't be. So for an example, maybe there is one relationship where they are very emotionally supportive to you. They make you feel safe, comfortable. They really take care of you. They make you feel loved and beautiful and sexy. And you just feel totally comfortable and taken care of and fully and completely loved in this relationship. They give you a lot of emotional support. And maybe in the past you thought that like drive and being with someone with like similar career goals and ambitions as you was going to be really important. And then you date this person and they give you so many other things that their lack of drive isn't really a deal breaker to you. And you're okay being the breadwinner or being the person that has more drive and passion and aspirations for what life can look like next, because you feel like this partner in this, you know, specific dynamic, you are comfortable with that because of everything else they bring to the table and how they make you feel as a partner. There are so many things like that where it's like, oh, I might hope for a partner who has a lot of drive and creativity and ambition and passion. But then when push comes to shove, when you're in a relationship with someone, it might not be like a deal breaker, rather something that, you know, you would hope for. And if they have a lot of other things, it won't matter as much to you. However, if this person, you know, doesn't really emotionally support you, you feel like you're always having to pull to get that side out of them, and they lack the ambition, and they lack this and that, whatever, then you're going to be like, well, what? It's going to matter more to you because it, you know, it's standing out more. The good isn't outweighing this one missing feature. I don't think that anyone can tell you what is okay to be a deal breaker in that regard and what isn't. In different relationships with different people, you're going to feel differently. With one person, drive might be a deal breaker, and in another relationship, it might not be, you know, because different people bring different things to the table. I don't know how old you are. Oh, you said your boyfriend is 30, shares a house with his brother, and shows no sign of wanting a home of his own. Listen, I don't think it's weird that he lives with his brother, to be honest with you. I think it would be frustrating if you were wanting to move in together and like and move to the next era of your relationship, and he was like, no, I want to stay living with my brother forever. That would be one thing. But if you're not living together and he's just, his living situation is that he lives with his brother and he splits rent because it's whatever they're choosing to, even if you don't live in a city, people want to split rent, spend less money, I think that's totally fine. I think where I would think it was weird is if it was like you were like, oh, I want to move in together, I want to, you know, spend this time together, whatever, and he was like, no, never moving in with girlfriend, only living with brother forever. That would be, you know, well, how is this ever going to move forward, because you just don't want the same things, right? But yeah, I don't know. I don't see it as like a total, I don't see it as a huge deal, to be honest. Maybe it's not that he lacks drive for wanting a home of his own, but rather that he can't quite picture it because homes are expensive. Also, you're 30. Like, it's 30's not that old, and a lot of people at 30 are not fucking, you know, rolling in riches. So it doesn't concern me that much. I don't think it necessarily has to mean that he lacks drive. I get why lack of drive could be an ick. I just don't know if this is totally that situation. But at the end of the day, you are the only person that is going to be able to decide if this is a real deal breaker for you. If like you really think he shows no signs of wanting to not live with his brother and move on to the next section of life, that is totally fair for you to be like, well, I can't see a relationship here then, because if you're never going to move out of living with your brother, then what the fuck are we doing here? I get that, but this might not be that situation. So I would just be open to the possibility that this is not that, and just sit with it in yourself and decide, is this a deal breaker to you? Does he have other qualities that make you want to stay with him that can override this, or does it not? I can't tell you the answer. That'll only you know that. But that's what I think. I don't think it's a big deal personally. But also, you feel how you feel, so you don't have to agree with me. Hello, Maddie. I love your content. Recently, I've been gearing up to open a small art business, and I've noticed a lot of negative thoughts, like, am I really good enough to sell my art? I was wondering if you've ever dealt with imposter syndrome and what kind of things help you get through those feelings. I will say, I think most of my life, I have not dealt with imposter syndrome. I am the type of person that has a sort of unexplainable confidence and belief in themselves. You know, my dream as a kid was to be a YouTuber, to have a YouTube channel, to do all of it. And everyone around me was always like, you are delusional. And I was like, too damn bad. And it never made me think twice about myself, really. It just, my brain didn't operate that way. I will say though, I think that more recently, after achieving this dream, it's been easier for me to feel imposter syndrome, because I feel like I got something, I achieved something that I've wanted. And now that it's here, I'm like, I want to keep it. I want to have it. I want to enjoy it for a long period of time. I want to grow it. I want to, you know, nourish this thing that I dreamt for so long about. And I think naturally, when you are self-employed, when you're a creator, when you are, you know, doing what I'm doing, there are ebbs and flows. And there are periods that are going to be so overwhelmingly good. And then there are going to be lulls and low periods where you are like sort of panicking and feeling like, am I good enough to do this? Am I good enough to keep this going? Like, I also think that with like the growth of my channel, the more hate comments that I've gotten have like really taken a toll on me. I feel a lot better about it now. I will say I really don't read the comments on my main channel anymore. I basically only read the podcast comments. I go back and forth with it though. It's, you know, something I experiment with to see how much I can handle and how much I can't. But I think that for a while, like reading the nasty comments really made me doubt myself and sort of triggered imposter syndrome in me, which I had never dealt with before. Because I feel like my whole life I've had this sort of unshakable confidence when it came to my videos and the things I love doing. You know, I've struggled with my confidence in other departments, but never creatively. I have always been very confident in my creativity, my talents, what I'm able to, you know, bring to the table in that regard. So I think reading a lot of the hate comments definitely like started to grate away at my confidence. And there were for sure, and there were definitely moments where I was really impacted by some of the comments and I would sit back and be like, are they right? Like, am I just sort of doing this for nothing? When I launched the, I brought this up a billion times, but when I launched the podcast, there was like one person that was really mean about it. And to this day, I think that's like the saddest I've ever been about, something that I created, because I was so excited and I had put so much work into the podcast. And then before the show even came out, I was getting hate comments about it. Somebody was pissed because they didn't like the intro sequence that I used to promo it. I didn't like the fucking cute little photography I did for the cover shoot and whatever. It was just, it sucked having someone judge you and hate you before it even came out, being like, this is going to be shallow and stupid and whatever else. And I was like, God damn it. I can't do shit right these days. You know, like the show hasn't even come out and they hate it. This person was so fired up about my 30-second promo video. They were like, I can already tell this podcast is going to be shit. And I just had to read it and be like, oh my God, like what about me is so, you know, angering to the point where you want to make a comment about something that doesn't even exist yet. At the time I was taking things super personally. It was hard not to. This was the beginning of me really diving into this. I feel like I'm more of a seasoned veteran at this point. So hate comments definitely impact me less and less. And it's, you know, part of just going through it, I suppose. But in the moment, it was hard not to take it personally and worry that they could see something that I couldn't. And maybe, do you know how many times I have said in therapy, like, am I being delusional? Can everyone else see something about me that I can't see myself? Please tell me if I'm being insane right now. And every single time I say anything like this, my therapist is always like, do you think someone that was actually delusional would be panicking about if they were delusional? And I know the answer is no. But when you're in the middle of it, you're like, fuck, am I an idiot? Is everyone else right about me? Do I make shitty things? Like, is this, am I creating anything that's of value to anyone? Like, not everything you make is going to resonate with everyone. There are some people that are going to love what I put out there, and there are going to be other people that look at me and they're like, I don't get it. And that's fine. I don't make shit for everybody. I make shit for who I make shit for. People that love it, love it. And the people that don't love it don't have to consume it, right? Like, we're not built for every person. Not everybody has to like you, but it's still, you know, it can be hard to sit with. And I think because of all of that, I have definitely struggled with some imposter syndrome. And I think the biggest piece of advice that I can give to anyone feeling the same way is just keep creating. There are going to be a lot of moments where you convince yourself or somebody else convinces you that you are not good enough. And the only thing that you need to do is keep fucking doing it. The worst thing that you can do for yourself in those moments is to stop creating, to stop making things, to let those thoughts win. Even if you are, let's say, let's entertain the possibilities for a second here. Even if you were making the shittiest piece of art on the face of the planet, which I don't even believe in talking about art that way, because I think everyone, there's an audience for everything, right? Everyone is going to love something. Everything that you make is going to be somebody out there's bread and butter. Somebody else is going to love it. Even if you are making the shittiest piece of art on the face of the planet, that in itself is still more brave, more vulnerable, and more creatively stimulating than sitting back and doing nothing at all. Most of the people that are going to be fucking haters and bring out that side of you, that self-doubt, plant self-doubt inside of you, most of those people are people sitting at home with absolutely none of the courage to go out there and make shit for themselves. If you are a creative person and you are creating things regularly and putting shit out there and sharing it with the world, you You are brave and courageous as fuck, and people out there are going to be jealous of you. It is such a special thing to be able to have the confidence, to have the bravery to put something that you have created out there. Many people are going to be jealous of that, and many people out there are going to try to make you feel bad about it because they feel bad about themselves and how they don't have the confidence to do what you just did. Do not let them take that from you. Are your feelings of imposter syndrome going to go away immediately? No. But I'm telling you, if you just keep creating, you keep putting yourself out there, you keep going through the ritual of being creative, you will feel better than if you let those thoughts get to you and you stop creating altogether. I'm telling you, you will feel better if you just keep creating. That's something I have to remind myself all the time as well. It's like I'm trying, you know, I've sort of taken a break on the YouTube, but in ideal world, I'm producing one YouTube video and one podcast a week. They're not all going to be bangers, okay? We can't be producing 2 smash hits a week every week. We can't do it. Not everything you make is going to be the best thing you've ever made. Sometimes it just is what it is. And even when it just is what it is, there is still someone out there that is going to listen to it, that's going to watch it and be like, thank God I watched this today. Thank God this video came out. Thank God this podcast came out because I love it. It made me feel seen. It was nice to just sit on my couch and listen to her talk and while I go about my day, whatever. Someone out there is still going to love it, even if it's not the most profound thing you've ever done. So stop setting all of these unattainable, unreachable standards for yourself when really the people are going to love even the shittiest of work that you could put out. Somebody out there is going to love it. Stop trying to make yourself feel bad for no reason. You're fucking killing it. Just keep doing it. All right. With that, it is 8:30 at night. I've been recording and doing shit since I woke up this morning at 8 a.m. So I'm going to go lay in bed, stare at the ceiling, and probably listen to audio erotica because it's what I deserve. Okay? So. And again, as a reminder, the Trova Trip stuff will be linked in the description down below. Be sure to enter your email. Get on the email list so you can be notified when the trip goes live. Next Friday, August 25th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will remind you in next week's episode as well. So anyways, that's it. Nothing left to do besides listen to audio erotica and masturbate. Nothing left to do besides listen to audio erotica and masturbate. So love you so much. I'll see you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.